keep that open. Psalm 2. So, on this table, I have a number of foods. Now, I want you to put your hands up if you love them. All of them. Oh, you saw them earlier. Tomato ketchup. Love them, hands up. Can't stand it, hands up. A few. Prunes. Love them, hands up. Can't stand them, hands up. This is my prize from the quiz. We were the losing team. Tuna. Love it. Can't stand it. Marmite. Yes. Love it. Oh, right. Can't stand it. A couple more. It's been used. Beetroot salad. Love it. I have to say, I'm not fussy, but beetroot is one thing I actually cannot stand. So Alice has eaten that. I have not eaten that. It makes me wretch. Tomatoes. Love them? I know you do. Can't stand them. And last one. I think this might divide opinion. Smooth peanut butter. Love it. No, not very many. Can't stand it. Well, that's quite a lot. Shall I tell you one other thing that we can't stand? One other thing that no one here by nature could stand? No. Oh, yeah, I haven't put the clicky thing, actually. That's fine. If you find it, you can put it in. So, the one thing that we cannot stand is God's King. It's on. Yeah, great. The world cannot stand God's King. Let's do that after me, please. The world cannot stand that God's King. And we see that in verses 1 to 3. What do North Koreans, Swedes, Ugandans, and Brits all have in common? They can't stand God's King. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. It says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." So literally here we have the United Nations. The nations united, conspiring together, rising up against who? Did anyone spot it? Against the Lord and against his anointed one. That's another way of saying a king. In the Old Testament, kings were those who were anointed. They had oil poured on their head. So we can't stand God's King. Why? Why can no one stand God's King? Well, the psalm tells us. Verse 3. Why can no one stand? They're saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off the shackles." Why does no one like God's King? Because we want freedom. We want to break off the shackles. We want to do what we want. We don't want a king. We want to do things our way. Everyone wants to be their own king. The whole world can't stand God's King. Now the question is that going to work? No. Who is God's King? Who is God's King? Now children, we're going to do a bit of detective work. Adults, you're going to need to have your head switched on too. Children, around the room, there are a number of toy animals and cars and engines. Can you find any of them? Go find them around the room and then bring them back to me and we'll put them on this table. Can you find any animals, any toys, any cars? They're all the way around the sides of the room. When you've got them, come and put this on the table. Go put it here, brilliant. Bring it over here. Brilliant. There's some in the back. There might even be some on the notice table. Oh, I've got Marmite on my hand. Oh. Lovely. Thank you. How many more? Great. We've got a sheep here. It was a struggle to steal these in the morning without the children seeing. And they'd already seen it. That's why Zach was kicking up a fuss earlier. Right. What's that?
Pig.
Pig. Brilliant. Now, we'll pick one of them. Thank you, children. I think that's all of them. So you want to come and sit down at the front? Now, we're going to do a bit of detective work. Is this a real sheep?
No.
No. How do I know it's not a real sheep? What doesn't it do? Adrian.
You haven't got mint sauce with it.
Oh, I haven't got mint sauce with it. That's quite correct. Yeah, what else doesn't it do? Yeah, it doesn't make a noise. It doesn't move. It doesn't eat. It doesn't sleep. But does it tell me something about a sheep? What does it tell me about a sheep? Does it tell me...
We've got a bit of confusion going on.
Yeah. Sure. So, we've got a sheep here. What does it tell me about a sheep? What's a sheep like? Can you help me? Where's it going? Kelly, what's it like? It's woolly. What else? This guy's telling me something about a sheep. It's got four legs, it's woolly, it's an animal, and some of them have horns. What about this one? What does this tell me about a pig? It tells me that it's usually pink, and it has got a curly tail. Good spot. But it's not a real pig. And the point is, the whole way through the Bible, whenever I open up my Bible, at any point, I can open up here, I can open it up here, I can open it up right to the end, what would I find? What would I find in this Bible? I would find a model, a picture, a little bit like this. A model of what, do you think? A picture of what? What is the whole Bible about? It's about Jesus. So, when we see a king in Psalm 2, who are we actually learning about? We're learning about Jesus. And to show you that, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We're learning about Jesus. As we see about God's king, we're learning about Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 4 very quickly, which is on page 1096. 1096. Now, adults, you're going to have to do some homework, and the children are going to come and ask you a question in a second. Okay, I'm not sure it will. Acts chapter 4, 1096. Now, I want you to look at verses 25 to 26. Who is the king? So, adults, you're going to try and find out who is the king that this psalm's talking about, 25 to 26. And then the children, you're going to go and find an adult and ask them, okay? So you need to go and say, which king is this about? Verse 25, you spoke, these are people praying and they're saying to God, you spoke by the Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Who's the king that this psalm's talking about? Adults, have a think. Right, children, go and find an adult and go and ask them, do they know? They might not know, but can you go and find somebody? Yeah. And if you haven't got a child next to you, turn to the person next to you and think, who is the king that this psalm's talking about? In verses 25 to 26, who's the king? Just going to give you 30 seconds. Just verses 25 to 26. You spoke by the Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage? Okay. Anyone reckon they've got an answer? Who is the king that Psalm 2 is talking about? Gone. Not quite yet. Not at this verse. What does it say? Verse 25, it says, you spoke by the mouth of your servant, our father David. So who's speaking in Psalm 2? David. So it's all about him. He's the king. He's the one that nations reject. But remember, the Bible is full of models, and David's just a model. He's a picture of the real king. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. Now, who's the king? Who's the king rejected by the nations? Who's the king that the nations, the world, can't stand? Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Does that sound a little bit like the nations? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. So who's the king, really? He's talking about Jesus. So this psalm was written a long, long, long time ago, the time of King David. But it was preparing us for the day when the real king would come. So everything that was true of David is actually true even more of Jesus. And that's kind of the line we're going to follow for the rest of the talk today. So when I'm talking about God's king, I'm talking about David, but really we're talking about Jesus. So it's not just a psalm that was relevant for Jews in Israel a long time ago. It's a psalm that all of us need to know right now because it's about our King Jesus. And the world couldn't what? The world couldn't stand who? God's king. The world couldn't stand God's King David, and the world still can't stand God's King Jesus. Now, before we move on, don't mishear me, because let's be fair, our world likes religion, generally. There are a lot of religions. We just don't want a ruler. Our world likes God's love. Now, why did the sermon last week kind of sweep the airwaves? The world likes God's love. The world likes God's love, but it doesn't want God as Lord. Our world loves morals, but what can it stand? It can't stand a master. And our world even likes Christianity. Why are the churches still full on Sundays? A lot of people go on Sundays. Why do people like Christianity? Our world likes Christianity, but it doesn't like Christianity. It doesn't like Jesus as the King. Jesus the Christ. So it was true for David in the time of Israel. Do you know what happened to David in the time of Israel? Bless. Do you know what happened to David in the time of Israel? Well, he was attacked by the nations. He was even attacked by his own son. His own son raised up a rebellion, drove him out of the city. The world doesn't like God's king. Do you know what happened to Jesus? Well, do you know what the sign said when they hung him up on the cross, when he died? Said, Inri, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So what did the world do with God's king? They couldn't stand him, and they tried to get rid of him. What about with the early church? So Acts chapter 4 that we just read then, well, the believers had just been in prison for following God's king. The world can't stand God's king, or the people who follow him. And it's true today. The world today can't stand God's king. So recently, a friend of mine from the squash club decided to stop reading John's Gospel with me. And he said, well, I'm interested. It is interesting. I'm very happy to talk, but I wouldn't want anything to change. So I don't want to commit to reading anymore. He said that. Lovely guy, really honest, really interested, but he didn't want to change because he didn't want a king. Perhaps it's even true for some of us here that we're quite happy to come to church, and yet actually we don't really want someone to rule over us. And if that is you, then this is the perfect place to be. You're very welcome, but you do need to keep your ears peeled. This is a really challenging psalm for that. So the big point for all of us is the world can't stand God's king, and it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us. We shouldn't assume that people will like Jesus. You know, when our friends, when our family, when our politicians, when our teachers seem to think that Jesus is completely made up, or when they think that he's a waste of time. Well, we shouldn't be surprised, because the world can't stand God's king. Sometimes we'll feel scared, won't you? Have you ever felt scared following Jesus? You think, oh, what if that actually ruins my life? What if I lose something? What if they don't like me? What if we end up in prison? What if we're not allowed to meet in churches anymore? What if? Maybe it's scary. Maybe you just feel silly. My husband thinks I've gone mad. I've become a Christian and he thinks I'm crazy. Yeah? maybe my friends at school think, oh, you go to church. Well, that's a bit stupid, isn't it? Well, this psalm is saying you shouldn't be surprised because the world can't stand God's king. So what do you think it's going to do to God's king's people? But don't be surprised and don't be worried. It's quite normal. Now, I need a couple of volunteers. Strong volunteers. Two very strong volunteers. Preferably younger. Go on, Dean, do you want to come and do one? Yeah. Isabel, I reckon you could come and do it. Yeah. You can be my judge for me, Caitlin. Okay, take a seat. Do you want to come stand with me? Right, Dean, do you want to pull up your chair to here? Caitlin, you come and sit with me. There we go, you come and watch. Now we're going to decide. So have you ever done an arm wrestle before? So you have to put your arm like this. Yeah, both of you put your elbow on the table. Yeah? There will be a prize for both, so don't worry. I think you're a fairly even match. Move your chair in. And put your hands together. And on three, when I say one, two, three, you'll need to try and push the other person's arm down. Now, depending on height, it could turn out even the strongest person might not win. But I think it might be an equal match. Okay, so one, two, three. Wow, guys. Oh, my word. I don't think we're going to... Oh, well done, Dean. Oh, well done. Well done, guys. Well, you come and grab a sweet from me after if your parents say that's okay. But thank you very much. That was a great equal match. I thought we weren't going to have a winner. Good job. Okay, well, this works quite well. Ready? I was going to invite Zachary, but it makes the point anyway. Ready? You going to hold my hand? Okay, we'll do this one. Okay. Ready to put your money on this? Okay, one, two, three. Go, John, push me down. Oh. Good job, buddy. You can have some sweeties after. Right, go and grab a seat with Isabel. Brilliant, well done. Now, you might not think that was an unequal match, but it was an uneven contest. And if I were to invite Zachary, you'd think it was even funnier. Okay? I'm not sure I'd even get him sitting on the chair. You see, it's no kind of contest at all, so it's kind of funny. And it's the same with God and his world. It's the same with God's world and God's king. So the second point, I don't know if it's going to come up, second point on the screen is that the world can't beat God's king. So the next point, the world can't beat God's king. So we've had the world can't stand God's king. Ready? One, two, three. The world can't stand God's king. Ugh. The world can't beat. We want to beat him. We want to get rid of him. But we can't do it. We can't do it. Shall I show you where that is in the psalm? Yeah, the world can't beat God's king. Verse 4. So after everybody's tried to get rid of him, verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. He laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them. It's like, that is not an even contest. It's almost funny. The world trying to beat God's king, and they can't. Did it change? Great. We'll have the next point. Yeah, the world can't beat God's king. And before we sing our next song, I just want to say what a relief that is for Christians. Okay, yeah, that gets the point. Yeah? Uneven contest. So the world trying to get rid of God's king, the world trying to ignore God's king, your friends trying to mock God's king, it's like this little boy. Is he going to win? No. Never going to win. And the point is, that is a big relief. You might feel scared that, you know, one day, for following Jesus, you might end up in prison. In other countries, you'd end up dead. In our country, you might just end up sidelined, mocked. But God's going to win. His king's going to win. And you might feel silly. But who's going to feel silly on the last day when... I think that's a bit silly. To try and beat God's king is silly. To follow God's king is not silly at all. Not silly at all. And we're going to sing a song to remind us that it's not silly, that Jesus really is the king. So let's stand to sing that next song. And I'm going to go and try and work out how to fix the PowerPoint. So do stand. Psalm 2 open. see if this works now. Yeah, brilliant. Now, anyone remember the first point? The world can't stand God's king. Ugh, they don't like God's king. But the world can't beat God's king either. Brilliant. Thank you, Jamie. Shall I tell you what God said to his king? This is it, verse 8. This is what God said to the king, to King Jesus. He said, "Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." How powerful is God's king? He's going to own the nations, everyone. And he'll crush those who don't listen to him. We can't stand him, but we can't beat him. Now, I need a helper, and I think, Hannah, you think you might be strong enough to do this? Yeah? Do you want to come up? We have our very own pot. Do you want to come over here? It's not pottery, but it's a pot. So it might be quite hard to break. But I need some help. Do you think you can break it? Yeah. It has to stay on the mat, otherwise we might be paying a lot for the floor. But there you go. You've got a hammer. This is your metal rod. You want to come down a bit lower. Try and smash it on the top. Oh, right, show everyone what you've done. Very good. That's a good start. Yeah, okay, now take it out. Try again. You did too good a job. And again. Brilliant. Oh, there you go. Hold on to that. Now, that's looking quite good. Yep. Let's try that. That might not work. Yep. That's pretty good. What about that side? And again. Yep. When I was doing this yesterday, it kept flying all over the garden. And one more. Oh, that is the killer blow. That is the killer blow. Well done, Hannah. Thank you very much. I'll take my hammer back. Brilliant. Now, you owe me £2 later, yeah? No, you don't really. Brilliant. Now, that's a little bit of a silly illustration, isn't it? I hope you had fun doing that. Do you enjoy that? Yeah. The thing is, it's actually deadly serious. Because did you know that that's what God says will happen to anybody who doesn't listen to him? Do you believe that? That's not what we think of Jesus, is it? And yet it is talking about him. Do you know that? That's what was going to happen. Do you know when Jesus hung on the cross, the world tried to beat him, didn't they? How did they try and beat him? They tried to kill him. But the world couldn't beat him, because what did he do when he died on the cross? 3 days later, he rises up again, and he's declared the Son of God in glory. So for your notes later, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, quotes this psalm, says that at the resurrection, this happened to Jesus. He was anointed, appointed king of everyone. So the resurrection is the point it's talking about here. So the world tried to beat him, but they couldn't. The king was resisted. He was resurrected. He's returning to do that. That's really serious, isn't it? So it's funny, because children's services, we want it to be really entertaining and engaging, and yet... That's really serious. And therefore, the third point, which is a wonderful point, really. The world can't ignore God's king. The world can't ignore God's king. So let's practice that. The world can't stand God's king. The world can't beat God's king. And the world can't ignore. We can't ignore him. Like, I can't hear you. La, 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 la. Can't do that to God's king, can you? Is this going to work? Jamie, can we have the next few? So if you keep flicking through them, just one at a time. We've got a few warning signs, hopefully. Brilliant. So this one, what are you not supposed to do? Can anyone tell me? Jamie, go on.
Touch the power.
Probably the electric fence. Don't go near. Don't touch, because what would happen? It's going to happen. Next one. Oh. Watch out. What are you not supposed to do, Chloe? Yeah, don't go swimming in an area full of sharks because sharks have sharp teeth. Next one. Bit more mundane. What are you not supposed to do? Not supposed to run or necessarily even walk if you think you might slip when it's wet. Next one. What are you not supposed to do? Or what's the warning there? Beware of the dogs. Don't trespass. Don't break in because they might hurt. This is only guard dogs. It's protecting places. And the next one. My personal favorite. Don't drive by cliffs where there are cows that might fall on top of your head. Yes, that is the point. Warning. I have yet to decipher whether there's actually a real sign that says that or whether that was just on the internet. But the warning is clear. And we've had our own warning today. So it sounds a bit serious, but we've had our own warning. This psalm has been a big, big yellow sign saying, watch out. Verse 10 says, therefore, because of everything I've just told you, therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. We can't ignore him. We must come to God's king. So we've got just two questions before we finish. First one, how do you get on God's side? How do you get on his side? Look at verse 12. It seems a bit funny. What do you need to do to be on God's king's side? It says, verse 12, kiss his son. Kiss his son. Give him a peck on the cheek. Is that what you're supposed to do to Jesus? Go up and give him a smack. No. You see, the way that people were supposed to treat kings when they'd been beaten was to kiss them. To kiss them on their feet. To surrender everything, to say, your army has beaten my army. You win, I lose. I give up my rebellion. I can't beat you. I get down on my knees and I kiss your feet. It's a sign of surrender, submission, saying, I'm sorry I've tried to beat you and I know I can't do that anymore. That's what God's king calls for. So when it says kiss Jesus, it doesn't mean give him a peck on the cheek. It means surrender everything. Give everything to him. Put your whole trust in him, your whole life in him. So that doesn't mean coming to church. That's not knowing him. That's not speaking about Jesus. And that's not living like Jesus. It's surrendering everything. It's much bigger than that. It's not just one thing. It's your whole life. Surrender everything to him. Jesus was resisted, but he reigns and he's returning. And wonderfully, last point, verse 12. Blessed, the last line, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jesus was resisted, he's reigning, he's returning. He's a refuge. He's a refuge. Do you know what a refuge is? It's a place you can come and hide. So how do you hide from God's king coming in judgment? Well, when he opens up his arms on the cross, he opens up his arms as refuge. So how do you come to Jesus? You come to him on the cross and you trust in him. That's what you do. That's the only safe refuge. And you need to act now, because it says, what does it say? His wrath can flare up in a moment. You've got some time, but don't delay, because it could happen at any moment. He could come back at any time. So you need to come now. And if you haven't, you need to act now. You need to come to Jesus. Child or adult, you need to. And if you're interested in thinking further about that, there's plenty of resources on the back. You do need to think about it. Jesus is king. But wonderfully, if you are on his team already, and I imagine many of us here would be thinking, yeah, I've already done that. I'm already there. Last point. What do you do? What do you do if you're on Jesus' team? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 4 to finish. Acts chapter 4, where we were before. The early church had just been in prison. Well, not all of them, a couple of them. They'd been in prison. They'd been released. They'd been told not to speak of Jesus. They came back to a church prayer meeting. And at this prayer meeting, they read Psalm 2, verse 25. They raised their voices together in prayer. In verse 25, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, that's everything we've just looked at, isn't it? Yeah? We've just looked at that. The world can't stand God's king, and they proved it by putting him on a cross. But the world can't beat God's king, and he proved it by rising. And we can't ignore God's king because he's coming back. And so what's the natural response of the early church? You've just come out of prison. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's kind of surprising. They've just been in prison. They've just been told that the world's going to hate their king. And they pray, Lord, help us tell people. Give us courage. And encouragingly, verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Their prayer for courage was answered. Now, most of us know that we should tell people about Jesus. But many of us lack courage to do it. And Jesus promises courage by the Holy Spirit to do just that, to do it. One final point is that Jesus is a refuge, like an air raid shelter. So I don't know if you've seen the air raid shelters from World War I, World War II. My granddad had one in his back garden, and we used to love going in there to play. Now imagine you're in World War time, you hear the sirens blaring. Another raid is coming, another blitz is coming. And you have the only shelter in the neighborhood. And you're the only one who knows where it is. And you're the only one who has the key. And you tell no one. Well, that's not going to happen. Imagine you're the only one who's got the shelter. You know the blitz is coming. But you give up telling people because they say no. They say no once. Do you give up? No, because you know the raid's coming. It's coming. And you know where the refuge is. Well, the point is obvious, isn't it? We know Jesus is coming. There's no refuge from him. But we know Jesus dies. There is refuge in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder of reality, a reality check that our world can't stand you, but we praise you that he cannot be beaten, that he's raised, he's returning, and we thank you for refuge in him. Amen.